Roll call of everyone here. Scott Aylett.
Julie Rust.
Becky Hill.
Angie Correll.
Ben Sansom.
Celia Wilkins.
Melanie Shockley.
And I thought I saw him walking in, but we'll keep going.
There he is.
Hope he didn't try taking the elevator. Okay, so here's just a recap of last meeting for May. Talked about upcoming events. We talked material reconsideration requests. And two that I had received at that point. I had finalized, since we last met, I finalized this Stars Beneath Our Feet.
Oh.
So the first one we'd already talked about, we'll put the LGBTQ sticker on that. The second was the Stars Beneath Our Feet, and I finished reading that and responded to the parent and said, yeah, there are some heavy themes in this, but the protagonist is 11, 12 years old. And there are other themes in here that I feel like are representative and important for that age group in our community. Plus, the inside front cover of the book explains a lot of the heavy nature of the book. And so I decided we'll keep it where it currently is. And I haven't heard anything back from the patrons. So we've got a couple more that we'll talk about today. Feels like now that we've made it more available on the website, not that it wasn't available before, but it seems like we're seeing more reconsideration requests, which is great. I'm glad that parents are being involved in what their kids are reading, right? So I think that's a really good sign. We did a recap of our strategic plan and talked about a couple grants that we had applied for. And that is a recap of last month's meeting. In terms of the grants, we'll find out. They're going to announce next Monday whether or not they got approved. So we'll see next week if we got those approved and we can start working on those projects.
Having video games at the library came up at my family reunion.
Oh, really?
One of my siblings was saying, this library, I heard they do that. Oh, it was my sister's sister-in-law in Logan.
Okay.
And she's like, and they just love it, and I wish. And I'm like, our library's going to do it. We're getting a grant. I just assumed we were.
Yeah, and if we don't get the grant, we'll just fund it internally. We'll start, because we don't spend as much on DVDs and physical audiobooks anymore, so we'll just move those funds over to buy video games. So it's just whether or not we'll be able to start with a huge collection or start out small and grow it. So
my children were all in for that when I started.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all in. Right? Not children anymore, but they were all in. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And for some people, right, that will be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And for other people, it doesn't matter, right? And to each their own, right?
Yep.
So a motion to approve the minutes from the May meeting. Motion from Melanie. Second from Angie. All in favor? Yes. Any opposed? Yeah. Events for July. A lot of the same from last month. Again, story times will continue. We are going to be starting. So for the month of June, we do our story time in the park at the All Abilities Park, but we only do that for the month of June. We are, however, going to continue doing a story time in the park at City Park across the street. The Utah Food Bank, every day of the week, goes there, and they have lunches for kids. And so I believe on Tuesdays for the month of July, we'll go over there when they're serving lunch and we'll do a story time in the park.
That's so smart.
So we've been having some issues with our online calendar. So most of our children's stuff are not listed on this calendar. It's on the children's page, but it's our story times Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? 10:30 and 11:30 every day. Kids have programs in the afternoons. One new one that we started doing this summer is called Tiny Tomatoes Club, and it's at the community garden. So they teach like basic gardening things for kids and do a story time and that type of thing. So it's pretty cool.
Scott, where were you when my children were
growing up? I was.
What? And you were in elementary.
Right. I didn't want to say. So.
What is the Zentangle in the park? I saw a thing for it on the. board over there and wondered yeah, what so, that meant. Because yeah. it's for adults.
Yeah, and it's kind of like meditation mixed with like drawing. So it's okay. kind of like a mindfulness type thing where you can meditate and relax while drawing in the park. So okay. trying to do things that are outside of just your traditional, let's go to the library and learn how to do X, Y, Z type thing, right? And reach other interests and whatnot within the community. So we have our end of summer party on the 27th. It's not on here. We gotta get it on there. But Saturday, the 27th, it closed. So we close at 5 o'clock that day. I think it starts at 6:00. And any help that you guys can provide, we will sign you one of the booths, one of the activities, like we've done in the past, and you guys can come help out with that. We're hoping that by doing it after hours, it's a little bit more manageable because we don't have all of the regular patronage to the library plus everyone coming for that activity. So.
You said it's at 6:00.
6 o'clock on Saturday the 27th.
How are the extended hours going?
Great. Yeah, it's been really good. Yep, there's still some people that show up at 5 o'clock. Oh, you guys are closing right now? But it's been good having that extra hour for people to work and study and come and check materials out. And my staff is already here anyways, so it just made sense for us to stay open an extra hour. We'll talk a little bit about today, about some of the changes coming up for this fall in terms of our scheduling and staffing and that type of thing. But okay, I have two reconsideration requests that I need to respond to the patron, but I'll let you know what kind of action we're looking to take.
Can I ask a question for me
yeah.
from upcoming events in July? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to have a booth at Fiesta Days. Do you need help running that?
If you'd like. So we typically, I'll check with our adult librarian and see when she staffs it. It's usually on the peak times, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the craft fair. But I'll double check with her and see. We typically do some type of outreach. So we'll have some sort of survey yeah. and that type of thing. We occasionally will have some book sale items that they can purchase. We typically sell the puzzles there as well. Our survey question this year is we're tying it into our strategic plan for next year. And we're just asking, are there any services that you hear other libraries provide
nice.
That you would like for our library to
That's
provide? Because we get that there's a lot of people that come from other communities and they may be able to come and say, my library does this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn from that.
You may have heard that. But.
Right. So I'll follow up with Amber, the adult librarian, and let you know what help she needs with that. Okay, so the first reconsideration request that we got is for, it's called Throne of Glass, Sarah Moss. Anyone familiar with that? It's a series of 7 books. Right now, it's in our teen collection because the protagonists start out as teens, but then over the course of 7 books, they are young, new adults, right? The last few books of the series are probably a little bit spicier, if you want to go with the pepper scale. And so the request from the patron was that we move it to the adult collection. Fortunately, we've already identified that as a series that we would put in the new adult collection. And so what we're going to do is, because we're probably several months away from actually making that switch, we're going to move that series over to the adult collection, and then we'll just move it down. So. I think everything else that we have from that particular author is in the adult collection right now. And so all of her stuff will be there. It's very popular. Most of the stuff is checked out. Yeah, it's very, very popular. So the other one we have, and this will kind of tie into part of our conversation today about collection development, is Animals of the Bible. This was the very first Caldecott Award winner in 1936 or 1937. And we've got two copies of it now. But it's illustrations of different animals that are in the Bible. And the complaint that we got, again, 1936, 1937, Caldecott first winner. The complaint that we received is one of the first depictions in the book is of Eve.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can pass it around and everyone can take a nice look. And, so the complaint was that just it not being appropriate for children and requesting that we move it to the adult collection. So, per our policy that we discussed probably a year and a half ago, I think it was March, February of 2023, maybe it was 2022, I think it was last year, we talked about how do we want to handle nudity and printed materials in the library, right? And you all had a very good conversation. I went back and listened to it last week just to refresh my memory. Where we had landed was any physical printed material that has depictions of nudity, we would put in limited access, which is behind the counter, right? And this was kind of a good reminder, and maybe for me, not a reminder, but just an example of maybe revisiting that with you guys, having this as an item to put things into context, because most of what we looked at last time was adult graphic novels, right? And so maybe to provide some additional context, a couple other examples that we have, we recently purchased this book. It's Optical Illusions. It's supposed to be in the junior nonfiction collection. And there's one that we've, unless you really pay a lot of attention to it, this photo of this group of sheep. So it's a photo that looks like it's a herd of sheep or a flock of sheep in the field, but it's a bunch of people bent over and you can see their butt cracks.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I was like, this is
but if you, like, no. Unless you know, right, and that's the point of the book, right? It's an optical illusion. How they coordinated that with a bunch of people.
No, right?
No.
So,
to get it, right?
Saw
the butt cracks at the library.
The most checked out book.
Yeah,
in our junior nonfiction collection, right?
Oh, you got it.
Zelia sees it now.
Zelia's like, oh,
my glasses. Yeah.
This was, I think, one that we looked at last year because it was an adult graphic novel, right? The Librarian of Auschwitz. And this is more historical, right? Context of what it was like being in a concentration camp. And there's an image in here of the women lined up. Yeah. So if you guys want to look at that one, you're welcome to do that. Then this was a donation that we recently received. It's for figure drawing. And so if you guys want, you can browse through that as well. So a few more examples of things that have come through. We have a couple other figure drawing books, and I went to go grab them off the shelf today, and they're all checked out. So I don't have another example for you of what we have right now for figure drawing. So I'd like to, again, just open it up again. Now that we've got some examples that are outside of adult graphic novels, see if you guys feel the same way. You guys want to continue. So, because based off of current policy, this would go in limited access, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with this.
Probably
all of these, right? Would go into limited access. So, curious, I went to go grab some art history books, right? The David and those types of things, right? And get some, you know, have that as another piece of this conversation and puzzle. But curious if you guys have any different, and we have a couple of new board members, so I'm curious what you guys think. Do we continue with, if it's got print nudity, we throw it in limited access, or if you guys feel differently, I'd love to know what you guys feel and think as community members, and if your thoughts have changed, or if we continue on that same path.
I still think it's a good idea.
Yes. Okay.
And it's behind the desk downstairs, right?
Yeah.
Is that where it's at?
Yeah.
Because once we start,
I think we're gonna
bending thing, you know what I mean? Where does that end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think on this kind of stuff, it's hard to not have a hard line somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if we make an exception for the Caldecott book, that I don't know.
Right.
I think it's just hard to police it, so it's easier just to be like, this is the line, we still have the books. They probably, how often do those books get checked out? They, you said they were all checked out behind the
counter. Yeah, all of our figure drawing ones are checked out.
Right.
I think with this one, there was one that was on the shelf when the patron submitted their complaint. The other one was checked out, and then she came in a few days later, and they were both checked in, and so she checked them both out. I'm like, well, you checking them out doesn't help.
You just made it so because now it's circulating more, right?
So
she checked it out so no one could check it out.
If there's any print nudity, they put it on
any print
desk.
Nudity.
Yeah.
And then people can ask for it.
Art history.
Yeah, people can ask for it.
Right. So it's here.
Just to get out so the kid.
It's not on the shelf.
So. I'm just thinking, like, so if a patron came in, they don't know things are behind the desk.
It would say that if they looked it up in the catalog.
But if they're just browsing,
right?
How do they know that those books are available? I'm just,
yeah.
Great question. If they're browsing, they probably don't, right? It's got to be a very focused. They're searching in the catalog for a war. Figure drawing or for
that book,
this particular book, that type of a thing, right? So generally we see, unless, like, so for example, Sarah Moss's other series, we've put that in limited access because they were getting stolen. Like, those books were just disappearing off the shelf because it's so popular. So we've put those there. So those don't have any issue circulating. They circulate just fine. Mm-hmm. But most books that you put in limited access, because there's not the browsability of it, they do tend to circulate a little bit less, but I don't have enough statistics to indicate how much less they circulate than any other
material. Yeah, I'm just thinking of, like, the context that I'm aware of, like, especially for art and things like that, is, like, even BYU has it on the shelf. It's not, like, restricted or anything like that, but that's because it's just college students that are typically coming in there to access it. If we put, like, materials that have nudity that are for adults in the adult section, is the expectation that they are mature enough to handle the spiciness.
Right.
And, you know, figure drawing is not spicy, it's just, you know, it's drawing. Right. But are we saying, making a distinction there to say, okay, maybe it's okay for artists and things like that because this is what they're doing? Or do we have, because, you know, young impressionable kids can come into the adult section anytime and kind of say, oh.
Right.
I think you made that point last time, that teenage boys, that's once they figure that out, that's where they're going to go.
Teenage boys, but even younger, too.
Yeah, even younger.
It's the it's, again, just a lot of these kids, they, it's just, you know, the curiosity.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just recently had a conversation with someone that had, you know, gotten into pornography younger, and he was telling me, yeah, it just is, it was young, you know, like being able to go look at those things. I mean, it just is what it is, you know. So I would rather have that. Yeah, even it's even just stuff like that for the younger ones. So
I'm just out loud thinking, you know, just because we want them to continue to circulate, right, but to the correct audience or the correct patrons, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, could there be, thinking of Costco or somewhere, you know, how they just, I don't know, or maybe like a cardboard, you know, kind of like a fake book,
yeah.
Like, you know, just kind of like, you know, so it's there, and then just say, showing that we do have that.
Oh, like
available.
The gift cards, so you can't steal them. You gotta take them to the register,
like,
to buy them, and then they go to customer service and get them.
Like, if you'd like to preview this or review,
bring
this
it
book,
to the counter.
Click, bring it to the counter. Or
yeah,
that's a good idea.
And so that way that, because I'm just thinking for myself. A lot of times I don't go to the catalog. I sometimes just browse.
Like,
I just I love to browse, just like to look at everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's tangible, something to touch, something to open, but it's kind of like, oh, this is not available because of young patrons, but it's available to older ones, but they know that it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just thinking
that's a good idea.
That's a really good
idea.
You could get a bunch of, like, well, you can make the books however you want, but you could get, like, just a bunch of, like, wood 1x6s or whatever, slice them up and...
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's a really good idea. Then you're not affecting the browsability, right?
Yeah.
So
it would have
the, like,
and it would just say, like,
has a back cover, just like a copy of it, and it's like a fake book, but they can look at it and see if it's something that they're interested in exploring behind the counter.
I love it.
That's a really good idea. Any other thoughts?
I like it.
I started it.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other comments from anyone on that? Okay, so we'll maintain our existing policy. So I will follow up with this particular patron on this one. And this one will be a little bit more challenging because of the cover, right? So if I've got something, I'll have to come up with some sort of different cover for it. But even this one that's got a, I guess the book itself doesn't have the same artwork. So because I was thinking I could just take the book jacket and use that as the fake book, but the book itself doesn't have any artwork, so I probably need to jack it with it. But okay, thank you. I appreciate having all of you with very different opinions and backgrounds and perspectives, because then we get great ideas, right? And we can think through things and come up with great solutions for our community. So thank you. Okay. Library Division's reorganization. So my slides are really rough because I'm prepping for a presentation tomorrow with some of my leadership supervisory staff to talk about some changes that we're going to make to our clerks. So if you guys kind of remember, in the old building we had upstairs and downstairs, right? And we had clerks that worked upstairs and clerks that worked downstairs. And it was good. People could specialize in certain areas and they got really good at those things. But it was kind of creating this upstairs, downstairs divide within the staff, right? So we were very purposeful as we designed this building that we said, there's one staff area and clerks are gonna work everywhere. So if you're on the clerk team, you work upstairs, you work downstairs, you work front desk, you work behind the desk, everything. And now that we've been here for a year, what we're realizing is that our clerk team is really large. I've got 15, 20 clerks. And if they're working 15 to 20 hours a week, they're working maybe 2 hours at each desk, and it's hard for them to really, you know, perfect and understand what they do at each of the different stations when they're only there for 2 hours a week, right? And so as we've looked at it, we're working on a new structure where we're going to have our clerks specialize. So instead of having all of them report to one supervisor, we're going to take some of them away and give them to the adult librarian, and she'll have a team of adult services librarian or clerks that only work the desks upstairs. Then patrons have a familiar face, right? Rather than it being someone different every time, it's a pool of six people that work that desk. You probably get better readers advisory, better relationships. You get the Christine effect, right? Where people come in because they want to see Christine. So we last month we hired our first teen services clerk that works only in the teen department as kind of our guinea pig to test this out. And they work only there, and they can build relationships with the teens. They become a familiar face. You have less behavioral issues because they know, oh, they know me and I know them, and they're not going to put up with what I want to do. You know what I mean? So then you get mutual respect and just better behavior overall. So in line with our opening earlier this September, where we'll start opening at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, we're going to make this shift and reassign our clerks. We had them all go through and fill out a survey that said, how, one, do you feel like you are skilled at doing these different clerk tasks? And two, what's your interest in doing these clerk tasks? And all of those tasks were assigned to different clerk teams so that we could get a sense of, this person feels like they're really skilled and they have a lot of interest in here. Let's capitalize on that and put them on respective teams. I want to get the right people in the right seats rather than just expecting everyone to know everything, right? Then I've got a bunch of jacks of all trades, but no master of one. So they all filled out the survey. Then we worked with our leadership team to identify, are there any, you know, individuals that said, I feel like I'm really good at this, but you as a supervisor have noticed that maybe they don't perform as well in those different areas. And there was only one that we came across that were like, you're really good at these things. Let's put you over here, right? So in most cases, things have worked out really well. We also had them list their preference. So would you prefer to be in the adult team, the teen team, or the CERC team, which is going to be main desk downstairs in the sorter in the back. And for most people, we got them in their first or their second choice. So it's worked out really well. But we're really excited that we'll be able to do our staff will be able to specialize, and again, they can kind of hone their craft and just become better. And as I kind of think about our mission, right, we strive to build and maintain a vibrant city through personable community interactions and innovative library services. My staff can be more personable because they're a familiar face. They know their area better. They can provide better reference services. And because they know their area better, they'll be able to identify ways that we can be more innovative because they're there all the time. Rather than spending 2 hours here and that's it, how do I know how we can improve when I'm only there for a little bit? There has been some hesitation from staff because especially those that never worked in the old building, all they know is here. They enjoy every hour moving to a different station, right? They love that flexibility. And in this new model, they'll rotate between maybe two or three stations per group, not seven stations. So there is some hesitancy there, but we feel like, especially those that maybe will be at the adult desk and not rotating down and being behind the desk in the back, that because they're going to specialize in an area, we can have them work on more program-related tasks for the adult department or the teen department, help develop, execute, plan programs, and those types of things. So for now, we don't have budget to have them have time behind the desk, but we hope in future years, as there's money available within the general fund budget, that we can provide them for some off-desk time to get off the floor. It's hard to be on for 4 or 5 hours, right? On for the patron and that type of thing. So giving them a little bit of a break. So, but wanted to fill you in a little bit that you'll, starting in September, you'll see some changes here organizationally with more, you know, fixed people in certain departments and divisions. And we're hopeful that it turns out to be a positive. The other thing that we're going to change is right now our staff, they work on a 4-week Saturday rotation. So they work one Saturday and then they're off for three. And that Saturday that they work is an 8-hour shift. But with this change in having them specialize, I wasn't going to put someone on one desk for 8 hours on Saturday, right? And I also wasn't going to have them come in and rotate to other desks that they don't know very well.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep it a 4-week rotation, but we've got enough people now that we can, instead of it being an 8-hour shift, they'll get to do a 4-hour shift.
Nice.
So their Saturday obligation is going to be cut in half.
That is nice.
Yeah, right. Hopefully that's a good trade-off. And those 4 hours, they'll be within their own area,
nice.
Right? So they'll bounce between two desks or whatever during that period, but it's for 4 hours, and then you get the rest of your Saturday. So hopefully that's a good plus for our staff.
That's why I would never apply at the library, just so you know. Because I'm doing one on 8 hour Saturday. I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, yeah, right? It's open, except you're a board member.
So our regular staff will have them do the 4 hours. Our substitutes, that they really only work as they pick up shifts, because they don't work as often, we'll still have them do an 8 hour. Either they can do it on one Saturday or they can split it between two so that they can be here often enough that they can stay up on what's going on. So that's how we can work it out.
Their subs, so they rotate all the desks anyway, right?
Right.
So that's probably good for them to be here on a Saturday. So they can just work wherever.
Yeah, they can work wherever.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a really nice bonus.
Yeah. So just some changes that we'll be making that hopefully you'll start to see some more familiar faces in the different areas as you walk around. And I'm excited. Again, I feel like we'll be able to better serve the patron because my staff will be more educated and informed and like experts in their respective areas.
Can we ask the hot question everybody wants to know, is where's Christine going to be?
Christine, well, I can't put her anywhere other than the front desk.
That's
She's got to be downstairs.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
Yep.
Where's Christine?
She'll be, yep.
The board wants to know where you are.
They
want to
know where you are.
Reading those books from now on.
She will be front and center for everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She's great.
She is great. So we're excited about that. Yeah, they're all great. We have great employees. And we just want them to be able to, I don't know, I feel bad because at times I felt like we expect a lot more out of them than we probably should. You've got to know everything in this library and you're only here for 15 hours a week.
Yeah, that's a lot.
How can you do that, right?
Yeah, that's
so let's... And other libraries that follow a similar model, what they do is on an annual basis, you can switch. So every year it comes up and says, okay, is there anyone that wants to switch divisions? And if they've got enough pairings where they can move people around, then you get cross-training, and it gives people an opportunity to learn and grow in other divisions.
Do you think you'll do something like that, maybe?
I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to give it a year and see how things are going, and then open it up and say, do you want to move?
That's
and if you do, let's see if we can come up with a pairing and have you move to another division.
I like that.
So, and it also, I've got a couple of librarians that don't have any management or supervisory experience right now, and I want to be able to develop and grow my team. And so they'll have a team of six people that they can develop as managers and supervisors. And
well, they can use them, like you said, to start doing programs. They can start using them for programming. They can be like, hey, I need some help with...
Yep.
Yeah, and they're in those books all the time. They can.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great.
It'll be really good. So, and it'll be. I think we'll have better hiring because rather than hiring someone that's going to work everywhere, I can hire you knowing that I need someone that's really good at working with teens, or I need someone that's really good at working with adults, like I do with the children. Our children staff have been, you know, specialized for forever, right? And so when we hire that, we hire people we know that work well with kids. Let's do that with every other age group here at the library. So
I'm going to 3-star that.
Jeez, I got 3 stars.
Okay.
Nice. Let me find where our agenda went. Okay. Last thing, we talked about completion party. If you guys have any other donations that you've been able to get, bring those in. We'll include them with what we've got, and it's summer reading participation is off to a great start.
I was gonna say, how many do you have?
I can't remember our final count, but it's comparable to past year, so we're off to a great start.
Mm-hmm. And that's
awesome.
Good.
We love helping people facilitate reading with their kids during the summer. So nice.
Did you guys sign up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can still sign up. You'll get a free gift card for completing.
Are you running low on prizes, donations, all of that? Like, just how is that playing out?
Little bit lower than past years.
Yeah.
But for the adults, we do the gift cards as the completion prize. So you get a random gift card from somewhere. We've got a few like grand prizes that we'll be able to use for drawings, and then the other ones we've just paid for out of our budget. So it's a little less than past years. So
you still can.
You still can. But
sign up and then go get some donations.
Yeah,
right.
Where do I win a prize for?
Honestly, ideally, what I'd like to get to at some point is a program that we're self-sustaining, that I don't need, to go to the community to have them donate.
That'd be
Just budget-wise, we're not to that point yet. So, but ultimately, in the future, I'd like to get to that point where I don't need XYZ business to provide a prize for our summer reading program. They, I'm sure, get asked by countless organizations, right?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to be an extra one that's asking. So hopefully in the next few years, we can be self-sustaining that way. So that's all I have for today. Do you guys have anything, questions, things you guys would like to talk about? Good. Well, if there's nothing else, entertain a motion to...
Oh, look, are we meeting in July? I think it's the day before the 24th, or is it the week after? I don't think you have to tell us now. You can send an email.
Let's see.
I was just thinking about that today. Yeah, it's the 23rd.
I'm fine not meeting
that day. Yesterday's is happening. It's going to be pretty crazy.
How do you all feel not meeting on the 23rd?
I think I'm okay,
but whatever works.
Actually, I think I'm going to the rodeo that night.
No meeting
July 23rd. We'll meet back in August.
I think that sounds great.
And that'll be, I guess, a week before we move to our 9 o'clock opening schedule. It'll be the day after Memorial Day. We'll start opening up at 9 a.m. So
Labor Day,
not Memorial Day.
I wish we could go back to Memorial Day. Summer reset. That'd be
like
pretty great.
Summer reboot. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Groundhog Day summer.
Okay. Any motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn.
No, we want to keep this.
All night.
First from Julie. Was there a second from Zelia? All in favor?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your guys' feedback.